Well, good morning, everybody, again. We're going to start reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul's great chapter on the resurrection. And so I thought we'd read a few verses from there as we think about his resurrection this morning. So I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 25. And that says, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep," I'm just trying to move the page now, "are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet." So, as we all know, today's Easter Sunday, and that's probably the most important day of the whole year, the day when we celebrate the victory that Jesus won for us through his death and resurrection. All of God's plan for the salvation of the world is bound up in this truth. As Paul teaches us in this chapter, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. The resurrection of Jesus means that we know his sacrificial death on the cross was acceptable to God. It was enough. The price for sin has been paid, and now we're reconciled to God. And the resurrection of Jesus means that we know death doesn't have the last word. Towards the end of this chapter, Paul says, as we've sung already, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" The resurrection of Jesus gives us hope, even in hopeless situations, because it demonstrates to us how totally and utterly our God has the power to transform situations. If God could turn the defeat and the humiliation of crucifixion into something beautiful and victorious, then nothing we face in this life has the power to keep us down. Resurrection is at the heart of our Christian faith, and it needs to be at the heart of our daily lives too. And in this chapter, Paul talks a lot about different aspects of resurrection. And we need to absorb these truths so that we can become a people living in the power of Christ's resurrection every day of the year, not just on Easter Sunday. It's clear from Paul's teaching in this letter that some people were saying that resurrection's impossible. They said that there could be no such thing as resurrection. And we can easily understand why people can hold that view, because resurrection clearly is an unbelievable thing to think, if we only look at it from a human point of view. Anyone who's sat at the bedside of someone who's dying and has seen that transition from life to death knows how implacable death is. There's no fixing it. There's nothing we can do to make the person better, no matter what we try. And that's why so many people are struggling presently, because they're seeing the painfulness of death and its horrendous effects more clearly than ever. Death is devastating to us because God has set eternity in our hearts. So there's something within each one of us that yearns for eternity, that yearns for immortality. Death is an affront to us because we recognize deep down that this wasn't part of God's original plan for humanity. But resurrection can't happen by human resourcefulness or human skill. Humans have been trying for a very long time. And most of the time, except perhaps in times of pandemic, we've got quite good at prolonging life. The current average life expectancy in the UK is 81 years. In 1950, it was only 68 years, for example. But we've still not managed to raise anyone from the dead. It takes God to do that. Resurrection clearly is unbelievable, unless we factor God into the equation. Once we do that, then nothing's impossible. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we imagine or think. Nothing's too hard for him. God gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. And Easter demonstrates to us the reality that resurrection is really possible if God's in on the action. Resurrection's also necessary to free us from sin. The Bible teaches us that death has come as the result of sin. The wages of sin is death. But the Bible talks about two kinds of death. The physical death that our bodies experience at the end of our lives on earth, and spiritual death, which is essentially separation from God. And that's why we read in Ephesians 2 verse 1 about being dead in transgressions and sins, even though we might look very much alive. And it was to save us from spiritual death, from eternal separation from God, that Jesus died on the cross and was raised to life on the third day. And that's why we need resurrection truth to be part of our everyday lives here on earth, as well as something to look forward to in the future. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Without the resurrection, sin would still have its mastery over us. But as Paul teaches the Romans, sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under the law, but under grace. The resurrection of Jesus shows us something more powerful than the law of sin and death. Paul says, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. We rejoice today, therefore, in the resurrection, because we realise this sets us free to live for God in the way that he always wanted us to. Here on earth, we can have a different kind of life. We don't have to be limited to the way we've always thought we had to live. We can be free now to choose God's way above our own. Carrying on in Romans 6, verses 11 to 13, Paul says, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. We now have a choice as to how we live. We don't have to let sin reign in us. We can offer ourselves to God. And just as Jesus was raised from death to life, we too now have been brought from death to life. Christ's resurrection actually paves the way for our resurrection. And the interconnection between Christ's resurrection and ours is something that Paul stresses over and over again in this chapter. Paul says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. He's the guarantee that all those who belong to him will be raised from the dead at his second coming. In the natural world, the first sheaf of the crop was to be brought to God as a guarantee that the rest of the harvest was coming. And the fact that Jesus really did rise from the dead gives us hope that we too will be raised triumphantly at his second coming. The fact that Jesus really is alive reminds us that death doesn't have to have the last word, even though it's painful for us now. Paul talks about us bearing the image of the heavenly man. Later on in the chapter, he talks about us one day having an imperishable spiritual body, just as Jesus did after the resurrection. All these things give us hope. Paul's very much aware of the power of the resurrection, not only for this present life, but for the life to come. In verse 19, he says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. So the resurrection gives us hope now and for the future. It's the reason Paul says we can stand firm. Hope is the thing that can keep us going through lockdown, through bereavement, through poverty, through every trial and tribulation, opposition and persecution that can come our way. Hope is powerful. It's a dangerous thing, as Red says in the film Shawshank Redemption. And it's dangerous because it means that we can't be put down. We can't be defeated. The worst thing anyone can do to us is to take away life. But we know that even if we lose our lives, even if our loved ones lose their lives in Christ, there's still the hope of the resurrection. One day we'll leave this body, but then we get a perfect one. We exchange the perishable for the imperishable, the mortal for immortality. And resurrection tells us that there's hope, no matter how awful the current situation is. Listen to what Paul wrote when he was imprisoned in a Roman jail. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Eileen often describes that as a win-win situation, and she's right. Or listen to what Paul says in Romans 14, verses 8 to 9. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Jesus is the Lord of both the dead and the living. One thing the New Testament makes very plain is that the resurrection gives hope to all people in all times. Nobody's going to miss out. Paul says to the Thessalonians, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who've fallen asleep in him. Throughout history, the resurrection is the thing that offers us all hope. Those who died before Jesus returns, those who were alive when he returns, we all share the same hope. Paul says, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And that gives us great comfort. We don't grieve as the world grieves, because they've got no hope, but we have. This encourages us on those days when perhaps we feel like giving up. God will make us all alive, just as today we celebrate and remember the fact that he brought Jesus back to life. Aaron Schuss sings in his song, Resurrecting, by your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. And today, Easter Sunday, is our day of victory, because it was Jesus' day of victory. It's the day when we celebrate Jesus' victory over sin, death, and hell. It's the day when we can dance because our God does impossible things. It's the day when we can dance because we're set free from the power and mastery of sin. And now we're free to live for God and to serve him with gladness and sincerity. It's the day when we can hold high our banner of hope and say that nothing can separate us from the love of God. This is our day of victory. Let's believe that, and let's proclaim that, and let's live in victory. We're going to play a song now for you to watch called Day of Victory. And as we listen, you know, sing along, dance, celebrate, because we've got a story of grace. We've got an anthem of hope. We've got a reason to praise because we're redeemed and we're restored. No matter what, Jesus wins. He always wins. He's alive. Yes. And we're on his side, so we're on the winning side.